Welcome to Your Q, an open invitation to come together, collaborate, and take action towards a more connected, informed, and thriving Douglas County. Your Q is all about celebrating, uplifting, and educating our community. Each week, we'll highlight the people, ideas, and organizations making a difference, and invite you to join us in shaping the future of Douglas County. Supported by the Ford Family Foundation and brought to you by Roseburg Schools. And now, Your Q on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Your Q. Tiffany, great to see you.
Great to see you as well.
It's another beautiful day in Douglas County.
It is.
Excited to be in studio today. We've got a great group of people here and looking forward to a really great conversation today. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Settle and Throwdown coming up July 18th and 19th. And talking about what this means. It's actually more than brews and cornhole and barbecue, although it's part of that too. We're going to push into some conversations about Made for Trades as well and a focus on youth today. So thank you to our guests for being here. Really great to see you. Thanks for joining us today on this beautiful day in Douglas County. Want to make sure our audience gets to know you. Thor, love for you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Thor McCoy. I've graduated and I'm in an electrical apprenticeship currently right now.
Great.
So I'll evolve in Made for Trades.
Love it. Thanks so much for being here today.
My name's Emily Hammer. I just graduated from Oakland High School. I'm currently getting more involved into the livestock industry, becoming a vet tech, and I just recently got introduced to Made for Trades. So that's where I'm at.
Great.
I'm Travis Pritchett. I'm the operations manager at Convay here in Roseburg.
Great to have you.
And I'm Terry Brock. I'm a retired electrician, but I'm the founder. My wife and I are the founders of the Settle and Throwdown and the Made for Trades program.
Super. I'm Keith Brooks. I'm the general manager of Douglas Electric Cooperative. Most people know PP&L, PacifiCorp, as being the big utility. We're kind of like a little brother or something over there. Not related, really, but just the same service, same industry.
It's great to have you here.
And I'm Nick Kennedy with Kennedy Builders, and I'm also the board chair for the Umpqua Valley Home Builders Association.
Super. Well, really appreciate people being here. We got a great group. Got some youth, recently graduated young folks, and some community icons here in the studio. So it's great to have you. Let's talk a little bit about the event coming up. And I probably, Terry, just ask you some questions. You and your wife were instrumental. You were the founders of the Throwdown.
Yeah, we kind of got the whole thing started. The Throwdown actually started as a cornhole competition, and we had an extra parking lot down the street, and we played a little cornhole. Thought we were pretty good, so we thought we'd have a competition, and that was a lot of fun. And we quickly outgrew that parking lot and decided that we would, we wanted to move to the city. So we talked to the city Sutherland manager, and talked to him about moving the event to the park, because they were all down with that. They were, they want to promote things in Sutherland. So it's a big park. So we decided that we would go ahead and try a barbecue competition. Never been to one before, but we thought we'd try it. And then, a brew fest, because you got to have a little beer with your barbecue and also with your cornhole too. And then use the stage and so on. So that's kind of what got the whole thing started.
Yeah, it's become quite an event in Sutherland.
It really has, starting from a cornhole competition.
Cornhole competition. And then now today, I mean, we expect anywhere from 65 to 85 teams to come out to the cornhole competition every year. The Throwdown is the combination of the things together, with the barbecue and the brew, the concert. And then we figured, after doing it for the first couple of years, because our cause has always been, we want to bring, people to the community and have that to be a good positive impact, economic impact on our community. But we've always been, from the beginning, we started a nonprofit, and our nonprofit, we checked the box of youth and education. And we have, we vowed to the idea that we're not just going to check the box to be a nonprofit, we're actually going to follow through with that. Yeah. So with that, first couple of years, we were doing great with the event and stuff, but we also realized that people would come and go, from the event and not really have an idea what we were doing. So we decided last year, we're going to kick it off. We're going to actually really, really, really roll into the Made for Trades program. So we actually, recruited a building contractor to help us, which wasn't hard to do. L&M Custom Builders jumped in with us and helped us out with our builds. We built sheds and so on, took weekends before the Throwdown to assemble some kits and so on so that the kids could actually take the time to, or get the time to actually learn to build and, you know, put things together and make it possible that we could assemble three sheds on site, you know, within a one day. And then the idea of the builds was not only to give the kids some experience and introduce them to the trade and see if they really wanted to do that kind of work. You know, we started with 12 kids, and I'll tell you, we finished with 7, you know, which honestly, I feel that was a success because 5 of them figured out it's hot outside and it hurts, you know, if you hit your thumb or whatever, you know, so they don't want to work with their hands at this time. Finished with 7 kids. Long story short is we got the sheds built. We invited the public out to buy them sheds, and they did. We sold 3 sheds 4 times. So one guy bought a shed, $5,000, and gave it back. Said, sell it again.
Aww.
So, which was really cool, you know. So we had 7 students that actually got the learning experience. They got the show-off experience. They got to come to the throwdown. They got to show their studly skills and shake hands and meet people, and people meet them. And then when the sheds were sold, that money that was made all goes to them.
Yeah.
So 7 students get to split $18,300. That is in their scholarship program. That's good for schooling. It's good for books. Yeah. And if they don't require any schooling in the trade that they go into, then it's good for tools or work clothes or what have you. Whatever it helps advance them into their trade.
I love that, and it really is awesome. And I think one thing I love about that is, you know, we think about the throwdown sometimes as a community event, but you really embraced what community should look like. And community should look like a support for youth and a support for businesses. And I think that's really, really great. Love the Made for Trades. And I think that's really fantastic. I mean, we've got
so powerful.
Couple young people here real quick. I'm curious, Thor and Emily, what comes to mind when you hear about the Made for Trades and what that's meant for you?
Yeah, so I first started Made for Trades. It was whenever the Home and Garden Show was going on over there at the Douglas County Fairgrounds. And I was over there because every year is that they have a build-off competition for each and every one of the high schools that want to participate in it. And we went there with a project that we made for CASA. It's an organization that helps the youth, and it gives, you know, playhouses and that kind of stuff. And my shop teacher had went over to the other building and was talking with other people about it. He said, hey, you know, you should take a break for a second. Go walk over here and talk with these people. So I said, okay. So I took a break and I walked over there. And I had seen Terry, and it was the same booth that my shop teacher had told me to go to. And I was like, okay. So I went up there. I shook Terry's hand and talked with him about the Made for Trades program and how to get involved in it. And then later on, it fast forward ahead to the summer when we got involved with the Made for Trades. And I mean, it was a really good experience. It got us to get hands-on experience with a genuine contractor that builds houses.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it was just something that was really cool that we got to have that experience and have that hands-on, as well as working with our team members, getting that teamwork across, you know, what can he do while I'm doing this? And then at the end of it, we went to the Sutherland Throwdown, and we ended up finishing the projects there, building them on site to show the public of what we were doing, what we could do, and, you know, that we're here, we're doing something. And we ended up getting a bunch of scholarship money for that. And it was just a really good program and really good idea. And I really enjoyed it. And I think everyone, all the 7, really did, because it came back the next year. And it's just a really good project. And I really do enjoy it. It shows you hands-on experience. It gets that mindset across of like, hey, this is what it's going to be like if you want to be in the trades.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I love that.
So awesome. And I can just, I mean, what you've built here is so admirable. And just to hear, I'm sure, the fulfillment of hearing these stories with the youth and how much it's impacted them. I mean, I think it's incredible. You're off to a great start. How about you, Emily?
Well, I came pretty late in the game. I slacked pretty hard in scholarships, but Terry had found me from my parents' shop. He came in one day, I think it was to drop off a generator, and somehow I got brought up in the conversation, and my mom, she had called me, and she was like, well, there's a man here that's talking about getting you into major trades. I was like, oh, is that so? And I head into the shop, and she gives me this contact information, and I was going to call him. And as I was going to get lunch, and I was going to call him when I get back, and He pulls into the shop parking lot, and I got introduced, and I'm here now today. So it's a pretty cool experience. I don't know what's next, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. I mean, I've already have so many doors that have been opened in the past 2 months since meeting Carrie and getting involved into the Recruit Hippo. I finally got into that today. So it's looking pretty good. I'm very thankful. So we'll have to come back and give an update.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, definitely.
If you meet these two students, you have a pretty good idea what's next.
Yeah.
They're successful. Yeah. They're going to be successful, you know, and that's, you keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You've got this.
Well, and I think it's interesting because there tends to be this negative narrative about youth these days. You know, most of the stories you hear about youth, I get a chance to work with youth all the time. I'm so impressed with this generation of young people. They want to work. But, you know, I actually will say, I don't know, I've seen a generation that almost 30 years I've been doing this that will work as hard as these kids when they have a purpose. And I think they're misunderstood. Our youth do want to work. They want to be contributing. Yep. And so
and
I think
they're bright.
Oh, they're bright.
Super
yes.
smart.
And I think that's a good thing when the community has that realization. You're like, oh yeah, I'm more optimistic about the future when you think about these young people. You think our country is going to be in a good space, but we need these opportunities where they can see the future. And I love that. So we've got some business owners here. I'm interested. When you see this, Travis, you sit next to two young people. What comes to mind for you?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. These two are, you know, they're definitely going places. That's self evident mm-hmm. right there. And I've seen it quite a few times. We've got, we've been on a hiring blitz since COVID. Mm-hmm. And everybody recovering from that. And some of the best hires we've had have been youth that are just starting out. Mm-hmm. But for employers to understand, you know, hey, the youth are different today than they were before. They are different than we were mm-hmm. when we were their age. And we just have to figure that out and how to approach that and what clicks with them. And understanding that it's our responsibility to provide those opportunities. There are fewer opportunities today for youth than there were. It's very timely. In fact, last week, just saw some information came out from the Oregon Employment Department. One of the graphs they had in there showed about the labor force participation rate of youth going from 1976 to 2025. And if I remember it correctly, in 76, it was 64% of youth 16 to 19 had jobs. And in 2012, it was 30.
Wow.
You know, and there's a lot of reasons why that is. Yeah. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But what that tells me as an employer is the youth today, you know, they don't necessarily have the soft skills, right? That previous generations had. You know, so there are fewer opportunities. You know, I always talk about round hay bales are a problem because these guys have never bucked hay. Right, so they've never had that experience of a crotchety old farmer on a tractor yelling at them, right? They've never had the experience of being up in a hayloft with all the dust and the heat and everything else, and trying to get that last trailer load finished up before you can go get a drink of water. They've never had those kind of experiences, you know,
yep.
that we had before. But that doesn't mean that they haven't had good experiences either. Right. It's just different.
The world has changed a lot.
Yeah.
And so how would you describe the qualities that you're looking for as an employer in young people?
Well, they're very basic, you know. I mentioned soft skills, you know, and really what it comes down to, I think, is a very simple thing called self-discipline, you know, and a lot of things go into that. But, you know, at Convey, we have these values that we talk about own it. Right, and stay curious and build connection, and that really sums it all up, you know, what we're looking for. You know, so we're looking for people who show up every day, right? And I tell kids, I give lots of tours every year to the various high school groups, and one of the things I tell them,
you guys have been on one of my tours,
yeah, you, okay, you might remember this part,
yeah.
There's a difference between I don't feel good and I'm sick.
Yep.
Right. And kids have to figure that out, that You know, to be successful, one of the things you have to do, a recipe for success, is you have to push through, I don't feel like it.
Yep.
You know, you got to get past that. And these two clearly have, you know. And so those are the, that's one of the things, you know, is that show up every day and be present and be willing to learn, be willing to try things and learn and listen. And, you know, if they can do those kind of things and be responsible and take ownership of their mistakes and take ownership of their successes and stay curious and want to learn, then the world's your oyster.
Got it.
Exactly. Yeah. So what advice would you give to one of your peers who might say that they don't feel good and are considering not fulfilling their responsibilities?
One of the things that I would say probably is, like, kind of look at it long term, because a lot of my peers, they look at it kind of short term, what they're feeling right now or what's going on in a few hours. But you got to look towards that future sense. Is that, are you going to thank yourself for doing this, you know, for like leaving, or are you going to regret it? Because I've talked with so many of my peers who say they want to get involved in something, and then when it really comes to it, they kind of back down and they don't really like fully commit. Like so many kids were talking about getting in electrical apprenticeships that I knew. Yeah. Like, I mean, I probably could count it on my hands like three different times. Like there were so many. And then they hear the application process and they hear the work that it takes. And then they hear that they have to do grunt work and they hear a bunch of other stuff and they quit. And that's, you know, they're not fully committing towards it. That's one of the advice I'd probably give somebody is to just fully commit. If you want it, you have to know that you want it and you have to go for it 100%.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like that, I feel like that concept is actually foundational to why we're all here as well, because you are not looking at the short term. You're looking at the long term of building. And we all here are really of building the community, creating the workforce that our community needs to thrive.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that.
Yeah, I love that. We're going to run to a quick break here real quick, get back to the conversation. Haven't heard from Nick or Keith yet. So looking forward to that. So we're going to step away here and we'll get back in just a here.
Stick with us.
The conversation continues shortly. This is Your Cue on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. This is Your Cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Welcome back to Your Cue. Really great conversation about the throwdown and Made for Trades, hearing from some of our great youth in the community. And I want to pivot. We didn't get a chance to really hear from Nick. I'm going to start with you, Nick, a little bit. When you, it wasn't long ago, you kind of maybe were in this seat, right? As a youth, right?
I mean, I was lucky. My dad was a contractor. So when I was 7, I had a hammer in my hand. And then I was in their seat at one point in time. And I got married real young. And my wife and I realized we couldn't both go to college at the same time. I'm like, hey, I got a good career. We can afford to have an apartment and you can go to college. And so I stayed in the trades. And while I was in there, the original plan, you know, because we're young, right? I was like, well, when you finish college, I'll go back to school and you can put me through school. And somewhere along the way, I realized there wasn't a whole lot of people my age in the trades. Because in the late 90s, early 2000s, all the push was college. And, you know, and I loved it. I loved what I did. Like it didn't bother me to go to work. The day went by really fast. That's how I know. I think some of us realize we found a trade or, you know, our career that we love. You're like, wow, oh, I guess we're going home already. Well, that was a quick day. Right. So, by the time she had kind of wrapped up college, I'm like, you know, I think I'm going to stay in this for a while. And, the more time that went on, I began to realize there really wasn't a lot of people following in my footsteps. And now I'm at the age where the people that were older than me they're retiring out. Like there's a point in life where you're like, I don't want to go to work anymore. Like that's me time. And so the shortages come, right? The shortage of skilled labor, skilled trades, all that has come home now. I am the board chair for Home Builders Association in Umpqua Valley. And we identified the labor shortage coming, right? And the other piece of this, and it's nationwide, it's not just in Douglas County. So when we talk about getting the youth educated and going into the trades, we're not all of them are going to want to stay here. That's fine. We're talking about jobs all over the country that they can get, but we can train them here, you know. So that's part of it. And then the next piece of that is, how do we transition the kids directly from high school and get them into the trade schools, such as plumbers, electricians, HVAC techs. Some of the trades don't require schools at all, like carpenters, concrete guys, roofers, painters. Those are all field trained guys. And the other big pro for the kids that do this, even the plumbing, electrical, I can't speak too much for the vet tech side, but generally you're getting paid while you're learning, okay? As opposed to a traditional university or college setting, right? So instead of writing a tuition check, you're showing up and you're exchanging labor and you're getting paid for it. And yeah, you're going to start at the bottom, but generally speaking, any of the trades, you know, you're going to make better money than you are, like maybe like working, you know, food services or, you know, something like that, right? So, and I think another piece of what Terry's trying to do too is get some kids the experience, a little bit of field time, because you might think you want to do something until you try it.
Yeah.
And then you realize maybe this isn't what I want to do, right? And so I think that's a huge part of it too, is just getting like a little bit of field time for these kids so they can understand, like, here's the great part of this job, here's the part maybe I don't like. So yeah, I mean, it's
absolutely, it's not for everyone. And it sounds like you were able to experience from a younger age the kind of freedom that comes with a trade.
Yes.
How would you describe, and you guys feel free to chime in, like the freedom that comes with working in a trade versus other occupations?
Well, first of all, you can wear shorts. So one of the things we like to offer our employees is some schedule flexibility. Like if you need to go do something, it's just let me know ahead of time. I think that happens for a lot of the smaller business owners. Like there's a trade-off. Like there's certain things you can give to your employees and certain things you can't. And so the ones of us that are a little bit smaller, it's like we can offer schedule flexibility. Mm-hmm. And that fits with people that are starting a family or just getting started. And they're like, hey, I need to go to the doctor. And it doesn't really count against anything versus somebody that's got like a block of time they can use and then they start getting written up, right? That's not something we would do. But
yeah. More flexibility.
A lot of flexibility.
Yeah. And you do see this win around, I mean, it's great for businesses to have these pathways.
Right.
It's great for the community to have these pathways.
Right.
It's great for our students to have these pathways. The what we see on the school side is this, when kids are in these CTE type courses, it's vocational courses, you know, the graduation rate's like 98% mm-hmm. in two or more courses because they find value, whether it's FFA, they're on welding programs or in apprenticeship programs. I think the youth need to see that they need to be more involved with industry. I mean, sometimes learning in a row can be fine, but better learning oftentimes can happen in a workforce setting at a young age. And we find that youth are really thriving in that. That's super important for the community as well.
So I'd like to add one thing. Yep. So you mentioned it earlier. I did get the opportunity to go meet the governor this week on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And it was specifically geared towards, you know, the home building industry. One of the things one of the subjects I got to talk about with her was education. I had two different parts. That's the most relevant thing to this conversation. One of the things she didn't realize, and a lot of lawmakers don't realize, is that the youth between 16 and 18 could be doing field work in the summertime. And I like to use like Douglas Fire Protective Association. Like they can go out there and do all these, you know, they can fight fire and run all this stuff, but they can't legally in Oregon run power tools. She had no idea. And I said, we would love it if you recognize that the state has put a bunch of money into these CTE programs. We would love to hire these kids in the summer months so they can make some money. So that by the time they're 18, they already have experience. And she didn't know that. A lot of lawmakers don't realize that as a bully rule that we're working on getting fixed. Mm-hmm. Part of the pieces of that, though, is like, you know, we would work. And I told her, I'm like, you have the CPE program, you have the safety trainings in the high school, you have everything, you have all the parts and pieces for these kids to go out and experience making money before they're even out of high school, whether they save it for college or they realize, you know, that's the goal, right? Like we want to get them interested at that point already.
Yep.
And so, that was a great conversation. She didn't realize that. I think it would be beneficial to a lot of us. And again, they've built and spent a lot of money bringing all these programs into the modern age. Mm-hmm. We need the transition piece where we don't have to wait for them to come out of high school to be able to actually create something. We want them to do more than push a broom and pack board for them, right?
Yep.
So, or for, you know, different industries, be able to go there and do something other than push a broom and pack steel, right? We want them to be able to do things.
Yeah, putting the tools in their hand is huge.
That's, yeah. I mean, we're pushing on it. We're doing
what
we can.
That's so good that you're advocating for the youth, because especially if they don't grow up with a, you know, family member that's working in the trades, they have that exposure to
I'm so glad you were able to bring that up. And because I know exactly what you're talking about. There's actually, if you print it off, it's a page and a half, single spaced document of prohibited activities for youth under 18 in the state of Oregon. Yeah. I cannot hire a 16-year-old kid and put a weed eater in his hand.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that needs to change. And I mean, we find that a lot of the great advocacy is coming out of Douglas County up in Salem, and we appreciate that. It's an important thing for youth all across Oregon. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And that's really surprising. Yeah. And so, just incredible that you took that initiative to reach out like that. And
yeah. Because, I mean, I pitched it to her and I said, you want to be able to show these programs are successful. This is a way to immediately make it start showing success. And here's these kids that have earned money and they're still in high school, right? Yeah. Versus, you know, I really did what I could with it. And hopefully that's one of those things that makes it onto the notepad, something to do. So
that's great.
Yes.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
I'm great. And thanks for putting this together. I think it's a fantastic conversation to have, particularly right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about what this means for Douglas Electric and.
Well, specifically, we want as many young folks to stay in this community and work, because that's the pool of resources that we try to hire from. And we have found that if someone that we hire already has their hooks in this community, has family in this community, they are 30-year employees. They're not one-year employees or two-year employees. And even if they do go chase their dream somewhere else, most of the time they come back. So we get the benefit of them going away and coming back with all these other skills that maybe they picked up some other place. Given all things that we have to consider, I think it's the most important. I really, really do.
Yeah.
It's the most important part of our apprenticeship program. We're going to invest lots of money that they're going to be earning this apprenticeship. But, you know, the company is putting up a lot of resources to train someone, and we just don't want them to take that training and then Douglas County not benefit from it.
Yeah, we love that. I think that's really, really important. And, you know, one thing that's on my mind, and we've talked about this before, but, you know, our when we think about the future of our county and the home we love, we have... our birth rate is much lower than our death rate. And you can look around, just take a cursory view around the world right now to take a look at China changes their one child policy. You can look at places like Japan that are struggling with it's the oldest country in the world age wise and struggling with workforce. You can go to Italy and buy a house for a euro, all because of one simple fact. And that is, if you don't have people, then you can't accelerate as a community. And I think we're in this revival as a community here starting to say, we need to do something to not just export our talent out of here.
Right.
We need to keep the youth here. It is an existential threat for our community if we don't have this awakening that you can't just lose talent. So you think about in your industries, you're hiring. I mean, about all of you, Conley comes to mind as well. You know, we're hiring as many of us are hiring, right? But talent, we need the talent. And to your point, Keith, we find as well, people that are from here, you end up staying here. So you can hire an out-of-state employee, but the chance of someone maybe leaving against all that training dollars you put in and investment you're putting into them, we find a high rate of people that stay because they're from here. It is something as a community we have to realize. A focus on the youth is paramount for the development, the future success of our community. We need to have that focus, continue that focus with the youth.
Yeah, I think it impacts business coming in. They're looking for a workforce when they get here, a trained workforce.
Yeah.
If the kids aren't here, then they're going to take that business to where they are.
Yep.
So we need to have those folks stay in our community, and we need to figure out ways to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think a willing workforce is really, really, really important too. There's quite a few people out there, but how many are willing to do? How many are willing to get their hands dirty and to actually work in trades?
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of feel like Made for Trades, we're kind of finding our niche by, you know, I think outside the box pretty much with everything that I do. And it's, you know, like businesses and so on. How many people do you have to hire? How many people do you interview before you actually get through when you still don't know for sure what you have? The idea of Made for Trades is to take, to take people and give them some experience. Like we said, you know, we started with 12 kids in our shed build. Five weren't ready yet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they're not going to be ready later. But that's, you know, that's a pretty good percentage of them that didn't want to be a part of that. Now, we're still open to having them come back someday. Life and all that stuff will, you know, potentially bring them back. But to be able to do a little bit of vetting, and at Made for Trades, our job is not just to headhunt and to bring people into our program, and that would be students and mentors, mm-hmm. but also do some evaluation. You know, we keep track of who shows up and so on. What's their attitude? How do they work and so on? If I say, Travis, I've got one for you, mm-hmm. you got a pretty good idea that they've been vetted a little bit. It's not going to be a 4-to-1 bet. You know, it's going right. to be a pretty solid deal.
Yeah.
So that's something that we're really proud of. We're not at Made for Trades. We're not a trade school. You know, and we're not going to make polished craftsmen. Yep. We're not going to make a journeyman of anything. Mm-hmm. But what we can do is we can see those soft skills, the rough potential in them, and we can refer them out.
Yeah,
and that's all we're trying to do.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. And I think it was Jensen Huang, who's the NVIDIA CEO, a few months ago said, "The next generation of millionaires will be in the trades, have us skilled trades." Interesting. This is a chip manufacturer, right? Saying this is going to be the next group. And so you think about what that means for a young person who's, you know, going to raise a family and move on with life, but also what it means for like a local economy mm-hmm. to have that happen. And what the all of the benefits we don't often calculate. You know, I know there's things we get frustrated with in the community about apathy or homelessness or whatever, but this becomes the largest hedge against that when kids can see a future, mm-hmm. when people can see something that they can grind at and work for. And I think that's going to make a stronger community long-term economically, and also just in terms of kind of the moral imperative. We want to make sure people have a place to go work. And there's not a substitute for working hard. And I think the trades become a place, even if you said, you know, I'm going to go be a radiologist, but I was in construction, that will help you. 100%. If you bucked hay and you want to go into a field that's not in ag, it will help you. If you've been part of FFA, 4-H, Boy Scouts, come through the list where you learn how to grind. That is a skill we need to promote. It's imperative, yeah. and it'll help you in life. My dad was a home builder. I grew up with a hammer in my hand and learned to work. And I may not be the smartest person, but I can outwork anybody. And I learned that young, that you have to complete the job. And there is something in life that's a great life lesson.
Well, and it applies to everything, right? Hard work means that you're going after everything, and you're self-motivating and taking initiative and all the things that are strong qualities no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's, and we're seeing the demands in the industry too. And so, I mean, it is reflective that, you know, the next millionaires are going to be in the trades. So what is that? How is that demand in the industry that you guys are seeing here locally?
I can speak for the electric industry. Linemen are probably some of the most in-demand workers that we are that are out there right now. We are we're lucky. We have a very low turnover because we really are selective in our hiring process, and we've hired local, and I think we get the right folks in there. That so a lot of times takes a retirement or something, but you know, every year or two. We have a couple apprenticeships probably pop up, and it's always super competitive for those apprenticeships. But once you get that journeyman license, the future's yours. I know more linemen that probably have retired millionaires than I know anybody else, because you know, it's a great career. You make really good money. It's hard work. It's extremely hard work, but it's very gratifying. And so right now there is a lot of demand too, just because of the nature of wildfire and other things that are going on. Our infrastructure in the electric industry needs to be rebuilt, and there are huge projects going on that are taking up large amounts of labor and materials. And so all of it's in demand right now.
Yeah, and we think about the national and local power grid conversations we're having. It seems like every year there's a conversation about the grid somewhere.
Right.
And that industry is tapped for, it could take probably on any amount of dollars that were put toward it. And these positions are pretty key in there.
I think labor prices for that probably in the last 3 years have gone up nearly 20% to stay competitive.
Yeah.
That's a direct reflection on the demand.
Yeah.
I think something too, we talk a lot about wages, and that's really important. Everybody wants to prosper and so on. But something that, to me, and we talked about going to work and feeling good about what we're doing and everything, something that I enjoyed when I was in the trades was building something I was proud of or doing something I was proud of, you know? And I might even take my wife as a drive-by and say, hey, I built that puppy right there, you know? And it's something that you can not only get paid for, but you can feel terrific about, and you can showcase that, you know? I think if you do something that you can be proud of, then that keeps you hungry. It keeps you wanting to come back for more, and you can make a little money too. This is like the Made for Trades program. I couldn't be more proud of what we have said right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, how would you two describe what that feels like?
Well, I mean, to walk by something, because my dad, he owns a rental business, and we do all the rental stuff for it. So anytime there would be any issues that would come up, it would be me and my dad. And now that he's starting to grow older, is that now it's starting just to be kind of me. So
he's done well as a dad then.
Oh yeah, yeah. So from, you know, very young age, from me being 10, it's me rolling some paint on a roller to, you know, fixing a leak in the house or something, you know, and to basically look back at something and mm-hmm. say like, hey, I did that. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it shows your craftsmanship. It shows like what you can do. And it like really it opens your eyes and it's like, hey, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like, and the same thing with the Made for Trade stuff. I mean, taking raw materials, siding, 2x4s, you know, windows and like all that, and putting it together to build like a shed or a tiny home or even like a greenhouse, you know, and into the apprenticeship to pull like 200 feet of wire into like through conduit and be able to say, yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
And having to clean up the mess for it. But
yeah.
It's a really cool experience. It shows that, hey, I can do this stuff. It's possible. And like, it shows you like what hard work can give you, you know. It's very rewarding, not only like with the money, but as well as with like viewing, saying, hey, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely on the other side of the spectrum with that. I mean, I don't work with any 2x4s or any electrical wire, but it is definitely pretty good to see like your animals, the way that you raise them, the way that they finish out like at the fair. Because next month, beginning of August, I sell my last and final steer. So it's definitely, it's a great achievement to be able to see that you made it through a year, another year out of many, working with an animal. You learn new experiences. It's all different, but it's definitely good to be able, after you go feed, you sit there for a while and you're like, man, I raised that animal and I did that. I made this animal turn into an absolute beast. And I am real proud of it.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of young people struggle, especially at your guys' age, with the unsure, like being unsure of what the future looks like. So one thing that I'm confident that you could speak on is how it feels to have a path, for you to have carved yourself a path, and you kind of know what that looks like a little bit.
I mean, it feels pretty good. It makes me feel, I'm humble about it, but it makes me feel confident that I'm going to be able to go places. And I know that it's definitely not going to be easy, but I can see what I want to do. I can see where I'm going to be. And I know what some of the struggles are going to be. I've been introduced to quite a few of them. Like I was telling you guys earlier, getting into the AI world, switch to artificial insemination, you get some spicy heifers. So you just never know. But it's definitely good to be able to have an eye opener, because a lot of people don't have that opportunity. And I think it's good for me. I mean, I wanted to do the same thing since I was 9 years old. And now I'm sitting here 18 on a podcast with it in my hand. So it's pretty good. So great.
I've got a question for Emily. Sure. Have you ever bucked a bill, hey?
Plenty.
He shows no rebels in that house or mail on that.
I think this has been great. I really appreciate the conversation today. This is kind of a microcosm of what a community should look like. When you've got, you know, your youth there, you've got business leaders, you've got people that are thinking about how to kind of make sure there's a through line between that. I mean, when we think about the community we have and we think about the community we want in the future, it has to involve this conversation. It's an industry, it's youth, it's education, it's thinking out of the box. So just thank you to all of you for your fingerprints on this, for the support of this. Makes me proud to be part of this community. And it leads me to this question, which is, again, kind of a little play on words. The show is called Your Q. And it gives you a chance to just say, hey, what would your Q be for our audience today? And we'll end with that. And so, Nick, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Well, let's see. My cue would be keep pushing the youth forward into the trades. Right now, the trades are it is a great path to take. So hopefully the guys sitting here and Terry's program are one avenue or way to get the kids from schooling to this part.
Mm-hmm. So, hopefully other businesses in our community will take your guys' lead in opening those spaces for our youth.
Yep. That's right. Beef?
So I do talk to young folks a lot, and I always tell them the same thing, and I think it's good advice, is be the oil, not the point of friction wherever you are. If you can help someone out, if you can lift someone up, whether that's in your personal life or your professional life, you will be successful. People will want you on whichever team they are on. If you are a positive force, it means so much, and it can't be taught, but it can be, you can't teach someone to do it. They have to decide to do that. And so that would be my cue, is decide to be the oil and not the friction.
Love that.
Me too. That's great.
Terry?
You know, most people think that I talk more than I probably should, but I honestly listen quite a lot too. So it's a great opportunity to actually hear, and I've learned a lot from each and every one of you, and I want to thank you for that, because I will say this, Made for Trades is, you know, there, it's just been one of those things that's just been thought up and put a lot of work behind and so on, and then to talk to folks and have them to get behind it has been extremely, extremely rewarding. I'm going to say that we're ground floor right now. This is a big, big, big thing. It's a big issue. You know, it really is. It's a big opportunity as well. So what I would say, my cue to people is, if you have any interest in Made for Trades or being a part of it in any way, shape, or form, and I'm saying business owners, I'm saying retirees, I'm saying students that think that they want to try this thing out, get a hold of us. Let us know, because that's really what we're all about, is building this program. We're working on right now. Once we get through with the settling throwdown, we're going to be back to the schools. We're going to be looking for those exceptional students that really want to give this a go, give it a try. We're going to be looking for volunteers to help build our organization up and make it better and stronger and so on. We're going to be looking for those professional mentors, like the people that we have at Home Builders, like L&M Custom Builders. They've helped us out in a huge, huge, huge way. But we also understand that we can't be limited to one place or one thing. We want to grow. I would love to see charters in other towns and other cities and other counties, and even in other states, because that's how big and how vast this can be. So anybody who wants to be a part of Made for Trades or any program like Made for Trades, you know, let us know. You can get a hold of us at terry@settleandthrowdown.org or, just reach out.
So right. Thank you. Travis?
I think it's a very exciting time for the trades, to be honest with you. And I say that because, you know, we've talked about for years, there was this push that you mentioned, right?
Yep.
About, and I started hearing it before I graduated high school, and my kids certainly heard it, the whole, you got to go to college, you got to go to college. The only recipe for success is a 4-year degree. And that's absolute BS. And why I say it's exciting now is because that curtain's being pulled back and people are saying, huh, maybe we were wrong about that. And we're seeing CTE programs coming back into the schools. And I think that's vital. And we're seeing programs like what Terry's put together, you know, on a local level. We're seeing things on a national level, like the MicroWorks thing, you know. And so I think it's very exciting for that. And there's a lot of opportunity coming up. And so I think my key would be to the parents and the educators out there to stop this push to a four-year degree is what everybody has to have, and understand that everything we do in our society is supported by the trades. Everything we do. We walk into a room, we turn on a light switch, we expect it to work. We turn on a faucet, we expect running water, you know? And if in our recent history of the snowpocalypse, people got a little taste of what happens when that all fails. That's how important it's. You mentioned existential threat earlier, and you're exactly right, because without the trades, that's what we're looking at as a society. So that's the thing, is quit pushing youth the wrong way and show them the alternatives. And the alternatives can be a very bright future, you know. And I think that we need to do that.
Great. Emily.
Well, I don't have as much of an inspirational speech as everybody is, but I guess I would ask a more of a question, like, how hungry are you for your own success? Go work hard and shake the right hands. And first, start with these guys. I think it'll take you pretty far. So that'd be my cue.
Great advice.
So great.
Thor, take us home.
Okay. If I probably had to choose a cue, I would probably say dive head first. It wouldn't hurt for... you know, lots of youth to get involved in, you know, stuff like made for trades, building sheds, you know, chicken coops, whatever it is, you know, shop teachers or just anything, is that if you want to get involved, you know, you got to go for it, like head first, 100%. Because those experiences will bring you so much farther, and it'll impress people. You know, if you're saying, if somebody's telling you that you got to dig a ditch or that you got to go up in the attic or, you know, it's pouring rain and you got to do something, you got to fix a water leak, is that it's, and you're the first one to say, yeah, I'll do it. You know, sure, you're not too excited about it, but the point is that you went out there and you did it, like, yep. You know, and you did it well, and it'll show people and it'll impress them, saying, hey, you know, I was able to do that. This kid is, like, you know, the thing or whatever. Yeah. They'll talk about you saying, you know, he stepped in. He took leadership, he got involved, he was the first one to do it, and he learned something about it, you know. He'll probably not want to do it again, but, you know, he at least got involved. He was the first one to be there, and it'll bring you far places, you know. That person will talk good about you with another person. It'll bring you so many different connections, and it's just, like, that's, if I had to say a cue, it would probably be that, is to get involved, you know, dive through 100%.
That is so great, because our work really does speak for itself. Yeah. And that's awesome that you are deeply aware of that and on the path. And I love your enthusiasm, yeah. Both of you too.
And great advice for all of us, myself included. Great reminders today. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. So be sure to check out the Sutherland Throwdown on July 18th and 19th for a weekend of barbecue, brews, cornhole, live music, student-built projects, and family-friendly fun, all while supporting a mission dedicated to youth, education, and opportunity. And so next week on Your Cue, we're exploring the balancing act of wellness. Tune in while we explore the many dimensions of wellness and the small intentional choices that can help us build healthier, more balanced lives. So now we are heading into the after show portion of this episode. You're definitely going to want to check it out, because we are going to go deeper into how everyone here got involved in the trades, what that journey looked like, and how that became significant for their success. So definitely want to check it out. And yeah, until then, tune in next week on KQEN, and thanks again.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Join us Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. or watch online on the Roseburg School's YouTube channel and the Your Q Facebook page. This show is built with our community, for our community. If you have an idea for a conversation that celebrates, uplifts, or educates Douglas County, or know someone we should feature, we'd love to connect. Reach out at yourq@roseburg.k12.or.us or message us on Facebook.